Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Skip Button, a podcast all about the music you love to hate. I'm your host, Ben Barzilai. Today, I got some good friends with me.
I think you mean illustrious.
Can you not touch my microphone?
Don't touch the microphone.
I was trying to help out. I was trying to bring it more closer.
Yo, that's going to be wildly clippy and shit.
All right. No, we're good. Today's going to be a weird episode. I got a text from my man saying, I'm in town, we got to talk about DJ Khaled. So this is going to be the first Skip Button episode that's been done with no research.
Nice.
But I got some good friends with me. Yes,
that's
man.
What we need. That's what
it's
we
so
need.
Sexy the way you do that. Do it again. Do it again.
Do it again. Get closer.
Shh. Do it again. Yes.
Bars, I'm so sorry.
Right. This blowing that call. Blowing his nose is Kevin Coronavirus Kim.
Yeah.
You know the vibes. You know the vibes.
Next to him, we got Mete. How's it going, Mete?
Nope.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got Gabe Rivas. How's it going, Gabe?
Yer. What's going on? I'm happy to be on the podcast, man. Let's talk some shit about DJ Khaled.
Thank you guys for doing this with me. Gabe and Kevin, you wanna do some promo? What do you guys got going on?
Sure. So Kevin and I are we're two scumbags from Miami.
That's right.
We both went to Hamilton, and we've been DJing for the last 7 years, and we're a DJ duo. We're affectionately known as GK. We like to shoot the shit here in Brooklyn. We love to play disco, hip-hop, house, all sorts of nice tunes. So yeah, you can follow us on Instagram at GK_305.
With the O,
that's
actually.
An O, not a zero. Not a zero. We're also trying to get this thing started called Brooklyn Bedroom Sessions, which is kind of like a so far concert where we just kind of like, you know, we go to these intimate spaces, be it someone's apartment or just like anyone who's willing to give us a bathroom. Yeah, we can go to a bathroom and mix. But no, we invite people that, you know, we care about, people who are passionate about what we do. And we just kind of come by, hang out, chill, and we throw a little DJ set and then... yeah, we just have a good time. So we're doing that hopefully every month, you know, resources willing. But yeah, that's us. That's who we are. We're from Miami. We have experience with DJ Khaled, and we... yeah, we do, motherfucker. Growing up in Miami, I hope that DJ Khaled has made an impact on your life, as he has on mine.
Okay. So yeah, let's talk about it because the reason I wanted you guys to do DJ Khaled is because you guys are two DJs from Miami.
Yep.
And so I want to go around the room because I'm curious. When's the first time you heard DJ Khaled? Mete, when was the first time you heard DJ Khaled?
I probably heard his stuff not knowing who he is.
For sure.
Because it was like big poppy stuff in Russia. So I just, I probably heard him before, didn't know who he was. But then I started learning, like, I saw his stuff, like, on Snapchat, or, like, his Snapchat stuff would flow all over the internet.
Yep.
That's how I found out about him. So I haven't really listened to his music.
So I think the first time I heard him was on when he released I'm So Hood.
2006.
That's right.
Like 2007 or 8.
That was with T-Pain, right?
Yeah.
I'm so hood.
And I wear my pants below my waist.
Yeah. My friends and I were obsessed with that song. We were from, we were from Westchester, New York. Oh. You know, and we heard this song and we were like, someone gets it.
Finally, a song that I can relate to from Westchester.
I was telling Gabe that the I'm So Hood remix, to this day, I know every single word to that song.
I believe that.
So when was the first time you guys heard DJ Khaled?
We knew him as the local radio station DJ.
He was
the
radio station DJ.
What a lot of people don't know about DJ Khaled is that he's like a absurdly talented turntablist. So this guy can get behind the decks and scratch and, you know, mix like it's nobody's business. So there's this local radio station down in Miami called 99 Jams. And he would have like the 5 o'clock like traffic hour mix, and he would just go down and like absolutely murder it like live on radio. So, and so yeah, he had his little like his little what would you want to call it, like his little show on 99 Jams, and then from there he kind of built his reputation up through Terror Squad, because Terror Squad ended up picking him up.
Mm-hmm.
To DJ at their live performances.
How did Terror Squad happen? Because there was a bunch of New York rappers.
Dude, I don't know how Terror Squad happened. That's beyond my level of like Miami knowledge. But Yeah, and then that's how he started producing music, getting in the studio, and then inevitably with his arrogant ass personality. That's the thing about DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled has always been like larger than life, right? He's always been like, yo, Hassan! Like, you know, he walks through a room and he's
even,
the loudest.
Even before he had a son, it was weird.
It was like, weird. He's like, why are you saying, Hassan? Stop yelling Hassan all the time. But no, so he's always been larger than life, and I think that's like a big, you know, hold on. I want to find this. I want to find this because it's always been
a major key.
It's always been a major key to his success, like
he's
how big.
Sue us.
It's always been a major key to his success, like how larger than life he's always been, and I think that's kind of like how he's gotten to be
but
so
that's
big.
That's just a typical attitude when it comes to growing up in Miami. Like
it is.
That's why I never even bothered considering DJing until after I left Miami because I didn't have the personality to be like behind decks and like stopping the music every 5 seconds to say something obnoxiously and then bringing it in and then stopping and giving another shout out and then bringing it in and then stopping and going, we the best, and then bringing it in. Like that was never my fucking thing ever. So it's crazy because DJ Khaled was that dude who was playing them tunes, and for me I always thought he was a little bit annoying, but next thing you know he's like fucking touring with Beyonce and shit. Yeah. And I'm like, oh word.
Mm-hmm. When you were riding around listening to DJ Khaled, was everyone on the same page like, oh, this guy's annoying?
Yeah, he's annoying, but he's a good fucking DJ
and he's got the tunes.
He knows how to hustle his way into, you know, mingling around with big name stars.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? Like, he might be annoying to some folks like me, but you can't knock the hustle.
Pretty much. You can't knock the hustle.
The most Miami thing ever, too, because everyone in Miami has a fucking side hustle. Like, that's just a way of life. So, DJ Khaled just hustled his way into stardom.
I've been reading some crazy stories about how he got his start. But the reason this is cool because this is like three different levels of being, of like knowing who DJ Khaled is. One is like you guys grew up like during the time that he started getting big. And then there's someone like me who like happened upon him when he got really big. And then there's like, I feel like the most of the people who hate him are like Gen Z kids who like know him primarily as like a Snapchat mogul.
Oh,
and are just like, he seems like someone who's famous for being famous.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't think people know that like he's an actual DJ, because I feel like when people hate on DJ Khaled, the thing that people ask about DJ Khaled all the time is, so, but like, what does he do? Like, I know he has albums where he shouts over songs.
He does this.
Another one.
Did you have this app before we started recording this podcast?
I just downloaded this app. Okay. By the way, it's called the DJ Khaled Soundboard app, and we are not sponsored by it.
Is it owned by DJ Khaled?
I wouldn't, probably not, but some knob gathered all of DJ Khaled's fucking samples and dumb like sound bites and put them in an app so that you can hit them over and over again.
A major key.
I need you to use that sparingly, otherwise I'm gonna lose my mind. But when someone asks, what does DJ Khaled do?
What do you say?
What's the answer?
Well, it depends.
Thank you guys for listening to the Skip Button. Yeah, right.
Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. You are now listening to the Skip Button. Yeah, dude, I don't know. I guess I just say like producer for the sake of recognizing where he built his bones. But
that's an answer from you knowing where he's come from.
Yeah. What does he do now?
Like when you hear like Wild Thoughts.
Yes.
What did DJ Khaled contribute to that song?
We the best. DJ Khaled.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Hassan. I'm sorry, Ben. This is all clipping.
My audio is going to be raunchy.
I do wonder, though, if he was the one that sourced the Santana sample.
Well, which I think Santana that's... what it is. I think now... I mean, he did produce some of his early work. Like Gabe said, he's an actual honest-to-goodness DJ.
Yeah.
And I think that now what he does mostly is he just, like, curates music.
Yeah.
Curates. He's like, I want Rihanna on a song that samples Maria Maria from Santana.
Yeah.
And he just makes it happen. Exactly. He's like both an artist and that artist's industry plant. Yep. You know what I mean? He's basically just like a glorified A&R.
Yeah.
But he's good at it. Because he's been doing this for so long.
Yes.
And he hasn't released an album that didn't have a hit. I want to talk about some of the things that I found out about him. He's actually such I was blown away by the hustle. Like when he when he brags about like it doesn't all just happen overnight and like I do this. I'm like reading about his life and I'm like, shit, he does this.
Yeah, he actually
he really does it. He did it. He really does it.
He grew up in like a poor family. He's from New Orleans originally.
Yeah, from New Orleans originally.
And then he like moved to Miami and then had to move back to New Orleans. And he like got it. He got a job at Odyssey Records in New Orleans. And he got fired. He was there for a while and he used to DJ parties at Odyssey Records.
Yeah.
And he would hand out his CDs everywhere he went. He got fired from Odyssey because he kept stealing the phone to contact record labels and radio stations. Because he couldn't afford long distance calls. And his boss found out and kicked him out. And he on his interview with Nardwar, he talks about how Nardwar.
Shout out to
he
Nardwar.
Worked at a shoe store, and whenever he would sell shoes, he would slip his CD into the shoe boxes.
Of course. Wow. Of course.
And eventually, like, he like people just wouldn't say no to him because he was just so intense. I want to read this.
I think people said no. It's just he wouldn't stop asking.
Well, yeah. So I read this story about when he was in Miami. This is from Miami, the Miami New Times.
Yep, reputable, yes, reputable
that's
source.
That's right.
Quote, Joey Botafogo, parentheses, no, not that one, was promoting Miami's biggest weekly hip-hop party in the mid-90s at Rockers Island at Amnesia. Khaled walked...
Amnesia!
Talk to me about Amnesia.
Oh my God! All the real Miamians here will know about Amnesia.
Is that where it all went down?
It's all the nasty
like,
shit.
Yeah, it was
down,
like a grimy club.
It's a disgusting club.
Yeah,
and
you
I'm
feel
glad
slutty walking
not...
in, but you do every weekend anyway.
Oh
like, God.
So Callan walked into the Collins Avenue nightclub one afternoon and asked if he could DJ. Botafogo informed him that they already had a DJ. Callan blinked, nodded, and then asked again. Botafogo began to question the mental state of the kid in front of him. Tried to explain once again, slower and with the use of hand gestures, that they already had a DJ.
Wow.
He then pulled out his records and he started playing, Botafogo remembers. We couldn't stop him. When Botafogo finally relented and let Khaled behind the booth, he was blown away. Who was this man and what the hell had he eaten for breakfast?
What
and there's
had
a bunch of stories like this of DJ Khaled just busting into the front doors and being like, I'm your DJ now. And everyone was like, shit, okay, I guess he's our DJ.
Yep, and that's and I think that's just the power of his personality. Like
just
I was saying
imagine
before.
He invites you for brunch and you're like eating your eggs and then you discover his CD like in the eggs.
In the
eggs. And you're like, yo, what
is
the
this
fuck,
a,
man?
This fucking CD?
And then he moved to Miami. He like moved back to Miami. Well, okay, so the story goes that the way he met Lil Wayne was that Lil Wayne... In New Orleans, they met at Odyssey Records. Hmm. And then DJ Khaled moved back to Miami. And then when Katrina hit, Wayne had to go to move to Miami.
Yeah.
And DJ Khaled basically, like, took him in.
Interesting.
And I kept reading about all these really nice things he would do for rappers in Miami. And, like, in addition to being a hustler, he just... I think part of his success is because he made... He was just so friendly that, like... He would come up to Trick Daddy and be like, be on my mixtape. And Trick Daddy was like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll be there.
Trick no problem, Daddy, shout out to Trick
And that's how he
Daddy.
Like, he just was able, to, he just did so many nice things. And then his career is just a series of him cashing in favors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sick. That's an amazing hustle. That's like so great to be famous for like being nice.
No, I mean, I don't think I would put it that way. I just think so he's... boastful and arrogant, but at the same time, charismatic when he does it. So I think his big, larger-than-life personality, like, I guess it just grows on you.
It just wins you, especially, like, now it's kind of annoying because he's famous, but when he's just, like, some dude from Miami, you're like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Like, hard work. Believe in yourself.
Yeah. He definitely
didn't grow on me. I don't know. When I would see this stuff on the internet and I had no context of who he is, I would just, who is he? Why is he so... Sure, what he's saying.
Like, but there are so many people out there who started getting to know him from like when he became this huge Snapchat presence, and
so
he would
annoying.
He would just snap out the most ridiculous, insane stuff, and it was sort of him. I mean, like that's what he would have done if he was born like 15, 20 years. Like he's just a personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like he would have found social media one way or the other.
Yeah,
and so people were like, I don't get why I'm supposed to care about this, but it's that. That phase of his career was, like, I don't know, 10 years after he started doing what he was doing.
Like the Snapchat bit?
Yeah.
Oh, the Snapchat bit he started doing after he was made, period.
Yeah. He was already, I think a lot of people didn't know him.
But yeah, but he was made in Miami. He already had a few albums out at that point.
Right.
And he was on tour with Beyonce at this point, no?
Yeah, dude.
I guess so, yeah.
So, this, but that's the weird, charming thing about DJ Khaled, right? He's always in the cut.
Yeah.
But you know he's there.
Yeah. Right? You know the first right? 3 seconds into the track.
Into the track. There. DJ yeah, Khaled yeah, does not say another word for the entirety of the song.
You're the best.
What did he do in that track again? Hype man.
I think about this sometimes, though. He'll get the most amazing rappers from all over the country and get like a bomb hook from like T-Pain or Akon. But the thing that you remember the most about this, the part that gets stuck in your head, are his ad-libs.
Yeah.
Are like,
yep.
Listen! The runners! It's like the only part you remember for them. He like weirdly bodies everyone on the
two syllables and he bodies everybody.
It's like, yo, DJ Khaled was, oh my god, did you hear his verse? Yo, verse?
What verse?
The two syllable fucking ad-lib he did?
I was saying before we started recording, sometimes he does rap, though.
And it's not ass.
I'm like, DJ, okay. buddy.
Some people are going to hate me for this, but I kind of hearken that back to Dr. Dre rapping.
Oh, the fuck out of here.
Wow. No, I'm sorry. Dr. Dre is not a good rapper.
Well, doesn't he have most of his verses written by other people?
Hell yeah, he does. You already know he does. But whenever I hear
DJ Khaled. So what I hear you saying is that DJ Khaled's a better rapper than Dr. Dre.
No, they are both equally bad. I don't want them to rap on any track.
Oh, man.
But, okay.
I was comparing him to Funk Flex, who also is like it's not the same as DJ Khaled, but he's also known as like a DJ who's mostly known for just like inserting himself over tracks where he doesn't need to be there.
Yep.
And just dropping bombs and like New York. And but I think that like DJ Khaled and Funk Flex are like part of an era where like that's what DJs were.
Yeah.
And now it's not what DJs are. Like now DJs like it means a totally different thing to be like a DJ or a radio personality, but that's what it was. And so I think younger people just hear that and I'm like, but I just want to listen to Rihanna. I don't get why I have to listen to you talk over Rihanna.
Yeah.
I was listening to his record label debut on the way here, We the Best.
We the Best. When did it debut? 2006?
I think 2007. Let me pull it up.
2007? Oh, the cover? This is the ridiculous cover that you showed me before?
No. He dropped an album before this called Listen with 3 N's. Listen! And there's some dope songs on there, but I'm always blown away. Like even before he was a big name, he somehow just always had these super famous people on his like on his records. And I think it's just because he was like hustling so hard in Miami that he just was able to. I'm gonna just read off some of the guests.
Oh, go for it.
His
go for
debut
it.
Album
so this, in 2006, right? Just to give
2007.
All right, 2007. Just to give your listeners some context.
He had Bone Thugs and Harmony. He had Lil Wayne, Birdman, Bun B, The Game,
Yo,
Jadakiss,
what?
Beanie Siegel. Beanie Siegel has like a. It's not a diss track, but it's like him talking about his relationship with Rockefeller and Jay-Z on a DJ Khaled album. T-Pain, Young Jeezy.
Those are all the hard hitters back in the mid-2000s hip-hop scene, dude.
It's wild. Holy and they're shit. All the songs like involve them just saying like, I love you, DJ Khaled. there are three songs on here that are all, there's I'm So Hood, I'm From the Ghetto, and Bitch, I'm From Dade County.
Classics.
All on the same album.
Certified hood classics.
They're all great. I'm From the Ghetto is
absurd.
An amazing song.
It's absurd.
But then the weird part is the last track on this album is called New York is Back.
Sure.
New York is Back.
Sure, let's
why? The whole album is like a tribute to Miami and Dade County, and the last track is called New York is Back.
There you go. You know? All right, sure, we'll take that.
Right. With Ja Rule, Fat Joe, and Jadakiss.
Wow. Oh my god. That's like the Holy Trinity of do-rags back in 2007. yo, wait, hey man, don't let me record on this track. My do-rag ain't all right. Let me get my white do-rag. I'm not feeling the black one right now.
Sorry, is this your Ja Rule impression?
Monica.
And he. Oh, well, that reminds me. As long as we're on the subject
of Ja Rule.
No. You can divide DJ Khaled's career into two phases. The phase where he thought he could get away with the N-word. And Uh-oh. Then the phase where somewhere along the line someone was like, hey, Khaled.
Hey, you should,
God bless you, man, but maybe chill with the N-word.
Oof. Yeah, no, we can have a whole ass conversation about that. I don't know if I want to go down that avenue, though.
Who do you think was the one who told him?
Right.
Damn.
I'm
Look, okay, I kind of have to talk more about the Miami experience, then. If we're going to talk about, you know, who can and cannot say the N-word, right? It's a very touchy subject,
depending on the crew.
There's people who feel entitled to say the word based on their life experience, based on they grew up and who they grew up around. You kind of get grouped into this culture of everyone says it, that, you know, everyone that I grew up around, everyone that I hang out with just says it. It's a term of endearment, it's a term of affection, but it kind of changes when you get thrusted into like the national, international spotlight, like DJ Khaled has. Yeah. And it's like now you have a much more global audience.
We global.
And it's just like, you know, people who, you know, identify as Black or African American don't feel like DJ Khaled with his, where are his parents from?
I think they're from, his parents are Palestinian. Okay. But he was born and raised in
America. So someone with Palestinian descent, born in the U.S., has no right to say the N-word based on their quote-unquote life experience. Right? So it's just a super touchy subject, but yeah, I don't know. Somebody probably like, I'm going to go out and hand him, go on a limb and say, it was probably like Jay-Z that took him aside and be like, hey, DJ Khaled, listen, man, look.
Is Jay-Z having sex in this scenario?
That's Jay-Z. It's like, listen, man. I had a talk with Beyonce, and she said, "Yo,
if you want to come on the tour,
you can't be saying the N-word. All right, it wasn't me who said it, it was B. I can't say anything against her. Oh shit." That's so. I'm gonna say it's probably Jay-Z who told him.
That's
like,
probably a good guess. I meant to look up when it stopped. I wanted to notice when he stopped saying it. What if it was Paul Wall?
Oh my God! Like, really, Paul Wall? For you to even mention that? Oh, it was maybe Paul Wall who went up to DJ Khaled, some white rapper, and be like, "Hey, listen, man. Look, if we got people saying, oh, we got people talking, then you can't be dropping the N word, man."
Can the rest of the episode be Gabe impersonating rappers telling DJ Khaled to stop saying the N word?
No. I'll stop. I should have stopped with a Jay-Z impression, but.
I started listening to hip-hop around, like, 2008, 2009, and my entire taste in hip-hop can be traced back to DJ Khaled.
Stop.
The first time I heard...
No, but the fuck it can't. Oh, my God.
I'm going to say this again. I know every single word to the I'm So Hood remix. All of my favorite rappers, I know because they were on the I'm So Hood remix.
Oh, my God.
The first time I heard Lil Wayne was on the I'm So Hood remix, swear to God.
Word. Weren't there, like, 8 rappers on that? Fucking remix.
Yeah, it's like, oh God. All right, let's roll call.
Let's list them off.
Young Jeezy, Ludacris, Busta Rhymes,
Yo.
Big Boy,
Yo.
Lil Wayne, Birdman, Fat Joe,
oh my God.
Rick Ross. I feel like I'm missing somebody.
I think you got them all. Did you say T-Pain?
Yeah, T-Pain.
Okay, yeah.
And the original had T-Pain, Trick Daddy, Rick Ross, and Plies.
Plies?
Yeah.
Boom. Oh my...
Remember Plies?
It's so hilarious because like half of these people are just like has-beens now. They've been like washed away in the new realm of
that's
hip-hop.
True about some of the people, but DJ Khaled started the careers of it. Like he got Rick Ross big. He was the first Flo Rida song I ever heard was a DJ Khaled
Flo
song.
Rida.
Because DJ Khaled was just like promoting Florida rap as much as possible. And he had, like, DJ Khaled on a bunch of his mix... I'm sorry. He had Flo Rida on a bunch of his mixtapes. And then, like, shortly afterward, he came out with Low.
Yo,
and it was over.
God. That was it, yeah. That was it.
Why do you
think... We have to shout out... I just want to shout out the city of Miami Gardens in this podcast. You laugh, but, dude,
like DJ Khaled. That's like his stomping grounds in Miami.
Uh-huh.
I want to shout it out because it's a real tough place to grow up. You know, the socioeconomic status there is not great. There's a lot of crime. There's a lot of gun violence. So for people to come out of Miami Gardens, shout out all the big names in hip hop who have made it out of that city, made a name for themselves, and put Miami Gardens on the map, including DJ Khaled. He knows how to take his personality, his like larger than life personality, and has turned it into a fucking worldwide brand, right? This and I think true. That's the power of DJ Khaled. The fact that he recognizes how he can capitalize on his brand, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think that's kind of why everyone loves to hate him.
Yeah, because everyone knows him.
So. You like that?
thank you. It's because his personality is just everywhere.
But he knows how to market it, and he knows how to shove it down your throats and make us like say, okay, DJ Khaled, we see you.
Okay, cool.
Fucking hate hearing your voice, but every time I know I hear your voice on a track, I know it's gonna be hot fire.
So right.
I know it's gonna be a bop.
That is funny. Like you hear it and you're like, God damn it!
But then, like fuck.
But then you're also like, but also this is my jam.
Exactly.
So do you guys have a sense of what his relationship with Miami is now?
A lot of people in the Miami community, if you're a real hip-hop head, hip-hop, then you know the impact that DJ Khaled has had, you know, almost 20 years ago to this point. It has been 20 years. Because he's been active, he's been DJing since 1998. At least yeah. He's been active on 99 Jam since 1998. We're talking about 22 years.
Yeah.
22 years in the industry.
Yeah.
So I think people of Miami, if you know, you know. Like DJ Khaled is someone who has come from nothing into something really big.
Yeah, his story when it comes to Miami quite literally is the creative, made it out of my city, quote unquote, type of situation. Like, I recognize him mostly through his like DJ Khaled sample, and that's been there ever since he started like DJing and just being on the airwaves and shit. So a lot of people, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of folks in the city, like, they're sick and tired of hearing his fucking voice on like the radio airwaves, but considering his roots and considering how he like literally built a fortune completely on his own.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's the sort of big takeaway that a lot of folks from the city who know of him before he blew up.
Well, one thing I was thinking of is like Florida has had such a crazy couple years in rap, like so many big names have, like you mentioned Denzel Curry,
yeah,
you know, people like Triple X. There's a lot of like big names in rap coming up,
right?
Like, has DJ Khaled worked with them at all? I feel like his brand was so Miami, and now it feels like Miami's having this big like cultural moment that DJ Khaled like isn't a part of.
I would be surprised if he hasn't already.
It'd be interesting to see if there was like a bridge between DJ Khaled and like the younger generations coming out of that state.
Uh-huh.
Because as far as I'm concerned, I can't really see it.
I don't know, because DJ Khaled came up, I think he came up during a time where like you still needed to know the ins and outs of the music industry.
Uh-huh.
And he got huge doing so. And then he was able to, I think the one reason DJ Khaled is still so prevalent to this day is because he had a very keen sense of where, I guess, the industry was going.
Yeah.
And realized that, hey, I need to diversify. I need to, like, branch out to stay relevant. So he got, and I think it happened by accident, right? With him just being himself, going on Snapchat, and people, like, seeing these ridiculous fucking Snapchat stories that he would post every day.
Right.
And then him still being relevant by being able to pull big-ass names in hip-hop and pop and rap nowadays. So I don't know, man. That's how you stay with the times, right? That's how you not end up like, and this is about to be a hot take, people like Plies or other hip-hop artists who are just fucking has-beens now. Poor Twista.
I used to be really into DJ Khaled because I used to be so into Posse Cuts. And every DJ Khaled song is just one huge Posse Cut.
It is.
And now it feels like, now when I listen to, I can't listen to like a full DJ Khaled album anymore.
No.
Why not? Why do you think so?
Because it's so, it's like all just rapper. And like he still gets really big names in hip hop now, but a lot of it is like rappers who are great, but a little bit past their prime.
Just or, on,
Or not great. Is that what you're going to say?
No. Or pop artists. Like, what was that song we just listened to with, like, Justin Bieber and shit?
I'm the One.
Oh, that's the one?
Yeah. But I, to me, that, like, those songs, like, now those songs, and his song, like, Wild Thoughts with Rihanna, those to me are better than his rap songs. Because his rap songs just... I don't know. Now his rap songs are kind of boring to me because those long posse cuts are like very 2008.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can't make a track like that anymore because a track like that doesn't get clicks. It doesn't get streams. It doesn't get plays. And that's what matters nowadays, right? Is how many fucking streams you can get on a track. And nowadays it's just like pop songs with rap verses in them. But yeah, and I think... This is gonna sound like I'm a fucking wild old head, but yeah, like that shit is whack. I don't want to hear a pop song with a fucking rap verse in it.
See, I disagree.
This shit sucks. I think that
his like the songs that are like that the songs that he releases that are more traditional hip hop. I think they're boring now. I don't think he knows how to make them because they're not reflective of what hip hop sounds like now.
Okay.
Where like right. I'm the One is not my favorite DJ Khaled song, but he has pop songs that I think are way more engaging and interesting because they're more reflective of what's going on in music now. Mm. Which is why do you guys follow the whole Tyler the Creator drama?
What, dude? That's like I feel like that's his like everyday existence.
So the story
happens.
The story is that I think it was Father of Assad. He dropped Father of Assad the same week that Tyler the Creator dropped Igor. And Igor is, you know, critically acclaimed Grammy winning album.
Yep.
Igor opened at number one and Father of Assad opened up at number two. And DJ Khaled, there's some video went viral of him being like furious.
Really?
That he didn't open up as number one and like how did this, like, he wasn't saying anything bad about Tyler the Creator, but he also wasn't saying anything good about Tyler the Creator, and it kind of made him look
like a sore loser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, like, Father of Assad is not that great of an album. Like, if he wanted so badly to open up at number one, he should have, like, made a better album.
Damn.
Like, I'm sorry.
But wow. Wait, so then that begs a question then now. So is DJ Khaled washed now? Is he like not capable of making good hits anymore?
Oh, he can make hits.
He can make.
Can
like,
he?
This...
Yeah. But
he,
those,
but
it's like a run of the mill hits, you know, like pop hits. Like,
but
tunes.
But
come
even
go.
The pop hit, like his the album before that, Grateful, had Wild Thoughts,
right.
Which I love that song. That song is such a banger.
The sample's
like,
so
yeah, you can't
good.
Deny that.
He
sound.
Has it in him. But in Father of Assad, the singles were Top Off, which had Future, Beyonce, and Jay-Z.
Damn.
And that's the other thing that really bothers me about DJ Khaled is how do you make a song with Beyonce, Jay-Z, and Future and like fuck it up? It's not that good of a song.
Wow.
am I wrong?
The hot takes coming
up. Like, he had I Got the Keys with Future and Jay-Z, and I like that song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was No Brainer, which sucked because it was just I'm the One, the sequel. It had it had Chance the Rapper, Justin Bieber, and Quavo. And it was
shit.
Really just a worse version of I'm the One.
Shit.
So there like, I don't know, to me he seems like he's like, alright, what does a hit look like? Okay, it has Justin Bieber and it has Chance the Rapper and
yeah,
it has someone from the Migos.
Yeah,
and then he makes
yeah.
it happen and he doesn't put that Quavo
wait.
Verse on No Brainer. I don't know if you've heard it.
Is it awful?
He was sleepwalking when he wrote it. He was so...
but isn't that like...
Quavo was so checked out when he wrote that verse.
But isn't that Quavo's like permanent existence?
Even for Quavo, this
Damn.
Was... That's not a shot at Quavo. I have nothing against Quavo.
Yo, gratata! Out here shooting shots at Quavo.
No, Quavo's fine, but this... I think if you ask Quavo about it, he'd be like, I don't remember
it's
writing
like,
that verse.
What are you talking about? All right. Wait, but that begs a question then. So, okay, let me play the devil's advocate here.
Okay.
So, DJ Khaled is now 44, 45 years old.
Something like that.
He's been in the hip-hop, you know, scene, music industry for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
How many more years do you think DJ Khaled has left in him before he becomes a has-been washed person like Plies? Sorry to mention you again, Plies.
We yeah, Plies. You're out here making me look so bad for the shots I'm taking. I haven't said one bad thing about you since this started. I just want that on the record.
Yo, we're gonna be trending. We're gonna be trending on Twitter because Plies would be like, "Yo, fuck these guys, man." I still got it.
Yeah, I honestly feel like he's gonna be like Eminem, you know? He's just gonna like get into his 50s and still just be himself.
Oh my god.
And like everyone's like, yo, dude, just retire.
Just relax.
Angry dad, come on.
But the thing with Eminem is that like we're still talking about him. It's like true. We could stop talking about Eminem if we wanted to, but we don't because we recognize him as like still a really important entity.
Yeah, and he still makes good shit too.
And yeah, and so does like every now and then DJ Khaled still.
But like, when is that? When is that gonna run out? When is that gonna stop? Because I feel like DJ Khaled is on the downward slope now of his career.
Well, I just feel like he's gonna gravitate more and more towards pop. Like I don't.
He's already there.
I'm saying so. Like he's only gonna be more and more ingrained in it. And like I think Quavo fucking sleepwalking, as you said, Bars, through that verse.
Like, more shots Quavo. At Quavo.
I didn't mean it like that.
No, but that's like basically the spirit that personifies Khaled's tunes now, if I may. It's just like, it's formulaic. Now, I'm not saying that in the sense that it's not original, but in the sense that like this is a pop hit. This is a track to live on the radio.
Right.
Like, I don't really see what Khaled does now as anything beyond just pop.
I think the question for him is he, it feels like since the last time he had a hit, there's been like a... It's just like a new generation of rappers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the question is he gonna keep getting, you know, people like whatever, you know, Meek Mill and Jay-Z and Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm. He's still alive.
Did you say rest in peace, Meek Mill?
I guess I'm sleepwalking now. It's Quavo's spirit.
rest in peace, Meek Mill. We miss you every day, man.
Oh my God.
But the question is he going to keep getting, I mean, those are all great rappers who make great music, but is he going to start reaching out to people like Denzel Curry or like, you know, people like Roddy Ricch and Gunna and like start making music that...
Here's the thing. I think DJ Khaled is, for me personally, from the outside looking in, I think we've reached a critical point where... It's not going to be about DJ Khaled reaching out to these artists. It's going to be whether or not these current artists who are hot right now, whether or not they want to reach out, whether or not they want a feature with DJ Khaled.
Why the hell would they want a feature with DJ Khaled?
That's the point I'm fucking making. Because it's like, you know, has he reached that point yet where it's not cool anymore to have DJ Khaled on your track? Where it's like, yo, that's whack. Like, no one wants to hear DJ Khaled on your track anymore, right?
But it's a check.
Damn.
So I don't know, but I think DJ Khaled is quickly reaching the point where no one's gonna want to like have him on their shit because it's like, yo, you're old news. Like the industry has moved on. Mm. So I don't know, DJ Khaled, prove me wrong, man. You always find a way to fucking just exist and be in the world. So
yeah.
But my problem with DJ Khaled is that I think that he's done a really bad job of explaining who he is. I think he's been way too happy to let people think that he's just this guy who screams his name over a song and that's it. Like, why don't I know the fact that he was like hustling his CDs everywhere and that he, why don't I know that he can scratch on the turntables? Like, I've never seen him do any of that. Why don't I know that he can produce? And I feel like there are people who like are younger than us or who are our age but grew up in Moscow who just
wow, Mete.
Yep.
Mete's just been in the corner eye rolling this whole episode.
We acknowledge you, man. You exist.
But like, did you know any of this shit?
No, I think his public image has always been like really like exactly what you're saying. It's just like hype man. Like as we said, like that's what he is and that's his public image and he chose to project that. He didn't choose to put it on Snapchat him like practicing DJing or him like
right.
You know, doing stuff that actually makes him a good artist. It was mostly just him like screaming fun shit and making like cool remarks and stuff and like which is cool, but then he bottled his entire public image into this and that's how he is known to most people who don't really know him.
Yeah.
Right.
But wait, so like let me ask this. Has anyone here ever heard like in any interviews that he's done where he's like spoken more than two words, you know, he's not saying ad libs and shit. I don't think I have personally, like being a native Miamian, like seeing DJ Khaled exist for the last 20 years, I don't think I've ever heard him say what he is or what he does, or like, I've never heard him identify himself.
I'm an icon.
And that's it. No, God damn it. Okay, I have heard that, but that's it, right?
Yeah, yeah,
that's you can it. Just he could just embody himself as a I'm an icon, right?
His Instagram says father mogul icon,
and that's it.
And there you have it.
There you go.
But I think maybe he's doing it by choice. Like, he doesn't want probably. To be seen as a particular...
Yeah, 100%.
Doesn't want to pigeonhole himself into one thing, because yeah, he's just been one thing, and that's the hustler mentality.
Has he ever... Like, what do his live shows look like?
You're looking at me like I've been to a live show of DJ Khaled.
Oh, okay. That's a good transition. This is something that I've done on every episode, which is... What would it take for you to see this person live?
Damn.
Would you guys go to a DJ Khaled show?
It would take free tickets, and if it's at an arena, a fucking like skybox with open bar.
No,
and
come on.
Like full vegan like charcuterie.
No.
If I got free tickets to see DJ Khaled, I probably would, but I would never go out of my way or sacrifice any convenience to go see him. I can't be bothered.
So wait,
why?
Just cause, like...
You're a Miami DJ, support your kind.
Wow!
No, he's not a DJ, bro. Didn't you hear? He's a father,
a mogul, and an icon.
That's what he is.
Kevin supports none of those things.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I'm not any of that lame shit.
Father?
Yeah, man. Fuck fatherhood, dude.
What a bunch of... Nah.
Mogulhood.
Okay, let me paint a picture.
Okay. Here we go.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Really? Wow. All right.
Really? Okay.
All right,
go off. If I somehow, and this is not my MO, I don't know how this would ever happen, but if I somehow got wind, DJ Khaled was hosting a private set at like a small to medium sized club in Brooklyn, I texted you guys like cover charge is like $30.
30?
Yeah.
I'll check that.
But DJ Khaled...
Yo, DJ Khaled doing we're all broke boys, man.
Never going to happen, and if it did, I would probably never hear about it. You guys would probably hear about it before I would.
Debatable.
Look, okay, all right.
You would not be down.
Wait. Let me
said
add,
30, and I was like...
Let me add to this picture, okay? Maybe if, first and foremost, maybe if the cover charge was like $10, $15, because you know we're all broke boys here, we're barely making any money.
Big facts.
I'm a podcaster, I'm loaded, man. I'm really
yeah, dude. Okay, maybe if the cover charge was like $15, and maybe if the lineup was like all the old heads, all the old legends in fucking hip-hop, like Plies, T-Pain, Rick, not that Rick Ross is washed now, but like, oh, maybe Rick Ross is also on the lineup, Denzel Curry, and DJ Khaled just so happened to be doing like a live turntable set. I'd be like, okay, this is a trip down memory lane for me. Like, hell yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a bomb ass show, and it's cheap, and it's in Brooklyn, and you know the fucking vibes.
And then it gets canceled because of coronavirus, because they're all elderly people. And...
Damn.
That's bullshit. You guys would...
No,
I'm
man.
So,
context,
no.
I'm getting look, mad man. About a hypothetical over here.
Look,
I'm like, you guys really aren't going to go to this with me?
We've quickly reached the age, and I'm out here talking like we're fucking 35 years old, but no, we've quickly reached the age where it's like, nah, man, I don't want to go out to a show. Like, I'd rather stay home and fucking watch Netflix and, you know, be a DJ, a bedroom DJ warrior, dude.
If you could pick one person who you... As far as you know, hasn't collaborated with DJ Khaled to do a DJ Khaled collaboration. Who would you want it to be?
BTS.
Who?
Fuck yes, Kevin. That's the best. That's the best shit you've said on this episode so far.
What?
They're that.
I love
K-pop
that you were.
Band.
Wow.
You were like.
Okay, wait. That needs more context.
No,
okay.
Everyone knows who BTS
everyone.
Is.
Wait,
you're
no,
a sweep.
But. But
yes. Like,
no.
That, a K-pop?
Do the listeners know that Kevin is a person of Korean descent?
Oh yeah, he introduced me as Kevin Coronavirus Kim.
Jesus.
I said
Christ.
That because you were sniffling into the microphone. And now everyone thinks,
but no.
Like, I would listen.
He. That's a great idea.
Just to,
he should do that.
Just to be a devil's advocate. I'd actually legitimately would be interested in hearing a collaboration with DJ Khaled. Billy Ray Cyrus and Lil Nas X.
Oh dear.
Oh damn.
Oh dear.
Like a country, because now country hip hop is fucking cool out of nowhere. So.
I'm surprised actually Lil Nas X and fucking Khaled haven't
Haven't done a collab?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to say someone else, which is who I was going to say.
All right, who are you going to say?
Billie Eilish.
It's only a matter of time. No, seriously, it's only a matter of fucking time. But sorry, look, it's a hot take. Some people might agree, disagree, but
yeah, Billie Eilish
has enough of a outspoken personality, and I think I can imagine DJ Khaled reaching out to Billie Eilish and her just being like, "Fuck you, like you're whack."
Yeah, that's why I said BTS, bro. Because if Khaled reached out to them, I'm pretty sure they'd be all over that shit. They're good people.
I bet BTS genuinely are fans of DJ Khaled.
Yeah, me too.
BTS, can you confirm?
Right.
Please add us on Twitter.
Oh man, if this ever happens, we're gonna get loaded. We're gonna get so rich for calling this shit.
Hey, you heard it here first.
Exactly.
The skip button.
Shit, man, I should really have done more research before I did this.
Nah, dude, what's our timestamp right now? He's gotta go back and cut out.
We're gonna edit this out. It's gonna have to be 20 minutes. It's just gonna be 20 minutes of Gabe doing celebrity impressions.
It's like, hey guys, this episode of the Skip Button Podcast is sponsored by.
If like a Gen Zer comes up to you and starts talking shit about how annoying DJ Khaled is, does any part of you, like, get in your feelings? Like, you don't know. You
absolutely don't not.
Why? No.
Absolutely not.
No?
No.
What the fuck?
No.
Dude.
Everything we talked about, everything DJ Khaled's been through, you don't feel a little bit of responsibility to be like, you need to wisen up?
No. No. Not if, not, okay, unless they say some shit like, yo, he's a terrible musician, he doesn't always know, I'd be like, well...
But that's what I'm saying. People don't know. People are like, oh, DJ Khaled, he's just some punk who whines over a song.
I mean, look.
You don't get, that doesn't
bars
make
to
you
be,
buff your chest out
to
a
be
bit.
Completely honest, I have never felt the need to defend DJ Khaled, so.
But that's what we've been fucking doing for the past hour and a half.
I wouldn't say we've been defending him. I'd say we've been talking cash money about DJ Khaled.
It's a case study.
It is a case study. But hopefully, you know, if you've taken a deep enough dive into the, you know, this far in the podcast and we still haven't lost you yet, then hopefully you've learned a thing or two about DJ Khaled.
This is true.
But I do hope that any like Gen Z are listening to this will like go back into the archives, because I do think that listening... Even the music that's bad, I feel like listening to DJ Khaled's discography is sort of like taking a tour through the history of
for
like
sure.
2000s hip hop.
For sure, for sure.
Like you can really learn most of what you need to know about this century of hip hop
through DJ Khaled's,
music.
Yeah.
And some of it might be trash. Some of it he might not do anything on except scream. But there's something to be said about the fact that like in DJ Khaled's music, there's like a lot of history, both
yeah, there
in
is.
Miami
there
just
is.
In general.
Very rich history.
Good for him for being like the quintessential Miami spirit that somehow
yes.
has existed within the pop airwaves.
Yes.
That's a mind fuck.
Yes. I think, and that's, it's upsetting and makes me very proud at the same time. Like that DJ Khaled, what he's done and how he has like manifested in pop culture is quintessential like, what makes a Miamian a Miamian?
Yeah. Like, you hate that shit, but you also appreciate it. Like, yo, check out my mixtape. We're all talking all
yeah.
this brazy shit. It's just like, it's so annoying, yet you can't run away from it. And DJ Khaled seems like the type of person who you can't run away from, but you also don't want to run away from, even though his behavior is fucking extra and out there and a lot.
And that is
so,
that is Miami in a fucking nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
All right. Might as well end it there.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's a good, ending point.
Thank you guys for doing this with me.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us, Bars.
Thank you for cooking for us.
Yeah.
Thank you for being a spirit hovering over this conversation.
indeed.
Even when you were gone, we felt you here.
It's just his Russian presence.
Guys, check out GK.
Cheers.
Check us out on
Instagram. You
guys are
doing some amazing stuff.
Oh yeah, check us out on the gram, GK _30 with the letter O 5.
Find us on soundcloud.com/ GK305.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I will see you next time. Thanks again, everybody. Like, subscribe, rate, review, let me know what else I should talk about, and I will see you next time. Bye guys.
Another one.